God, He's never late. Amen. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to Joshua chapter number 4. Joshua chapter number 4. Say amen when you get there. Joshua chapter number 4. Sometimes we feel like the Lord's running behind schedule, but He doesn't operate according to ours. He operates according to His. And His calendar, I guarantee you, is up to date. He knows exactly what's going on, and it's going right according to His plan. I guarantee you that. Amen? Joshua chapter number 4. We're going to begin reading at verse number 1 and read just a few verses this morning. Joshua chapter number 4, we have the children of Israel crossing the River Jordan. Joshua has went in and picked up where Moses left off. Moses led the children of Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt, carried them as far as the River Jordan. On the other side of the River Jordan is the land of Canaan, the promised land that God sware to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob. God sware to give them this land. That's the promised land. Canaan land, we sing a lot of songs about going to heaven and crossing old Chile Jordan, and on the other side of Chile Jordan is heaven. I love those songs. We'll sing them till we're dead, but that is not scriptural. Amen. Crossing Jordan is not a picture or a type of going to heaven. It's a type of crossing over into a place of victorious Christian living. Amen. I like the old song that has it right. It says, I'm living in Canaan now. Amen. Amen. Canaan is a place you and I can live right now, today, this very minute. Because the Bible said, but thanks be unto God, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, I believe it is, and verse number 58, but thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory. Yeah. One day we'll have victory over it all when we're in heaven for sure, but we can have some victory right here on this earth. Amen. So they're crossing Jordan. God has, you know the story, I hope you do, God has cut the waters off. And the Bible said they walked across on dry ground. Now I love that. I love that little phrase, dry ground. He did the same at the Red Sea, did He not? The Bible said they walked across on dry ground. Have you ever been around where they drained a lake? It takes weeks for that thing to dry up to where it's dry ground. But God parted the waters and cut the waters off so that the River Jordan stopped on either side. And the Bible said immediately it was dry. That's just God, isn't it? Amen? This ain't got nothing to do with the sermon this morning, but that just amazed me. Joshua chapter number 4 and verse number 1. The Bible said, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man. Now notice, this would represent in our day every family. In our day, this would represent every family. He said, take you 12 men. There were 12 tribes of the children of Israel. I want you to get one man from each tribe. In other words, I want you to get one man from each family. Now just hang on to that a minute. One man for each family. One person represented each family or each tribe of the children of Israel. Somebody's representing your family this morning. Just keep that in your mind. He said in verse number 3, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you. Now watch this, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Tomorrow we celebrate a holiday. Many people think of it as just a day to be off work. But tomorrow we celebrate and remember
those American men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice that we might sit here this morning. Yesterday on, I'm trying to think of the channel on the television, it's the American Movie Classic, shows all the old movies. It was dedicated to American heroes yesterday. We watched movies like Midway, Iwo Jima, and all those great battles. And I thought about all the blood that was shed that you and I might sit in this place and enjoy freedom this morning. I thought about men like my grandfather who fought, actually, Granny Faye's husband, Granddaddy Jim, who fought on the sands at Iwo Jima. He was there and watched his battalion that he was in fall like flies under the hands of the Japanese. Several years ago, my wife and I and my children were able to go and see the great Arlington Cemetery. Has anybody ever been to Arlington? In Arlington, Virginia, the largest military cemetery, I think, in America. As far as your eye can see, there's little white tombstones just as far, and they're in the perfect line. They look like soldiers themselves lined up, thousands among thousands among thousands among thousands. And here's what I thought about. Every one of those tombstones are a marker or a memorial for somebody who paid the ultimate price that you and I might live in freedom. Now, we ought to honor that. Amen. The Bible said to give honor to whom honor is due. Honor is due to those men and women who gave their life. By the way, there's some overseas right now doing the same thing that those did in days gone by. They're doing it today. They did it yesterday. They'll do it again tomorrow. And we ought to take our hat off, put our hand on our chest, and say thank God for men and women who will pay such a sacrifice. Amen. And we ought to honor them people. And here's what I thought about, and this will be the gist of my thought this morning. As we walk through the Arlington Cemetery, out of those thousands of markers, I'm sure some of those men weren't all that great. I'm sure some of them had a past. Are y'all okay? There were probably some adulterers laying in that ground. There were probably some drunks, and there were probably some drug addicts, and who knows what. But nobody remembers that. Nobody walks through Arlington Cemetery and wonders how bad a person that was laying in the ground. You know why? Because it doesn't matter. What they did to be buried in that place overshadowed everything they could have ever done that was horrible or bad. Amen. Come on, y'all, talk to me a little bit this morning. What I'm saying is, when we leave this life, we will leave a memorial. When we leave this life, we will leave a memorial. Are we perfect? No. Do many of us have a storied past? Yes. We could dredge up. Me and Stacy Bullock could sit here and tell you stories about each other that would curl your toes. You would not believe that I'm your preacher and he's sitting on the front row. But that's not what we want to be remembered for. And you will be remembered for something. Mark her down. You'll be remembered for something, whether it be for good or whether it be for bad. Here's what I want to challenge you this morning as we think about Memorial Day and we think about what we'll be remembered for. You know, everybody wants to be remembered for something. Everybody wants, they want to be remembered for how much money they made, how many touchdowns they ran, how many Super Bowls they played in, or World Series they played in, or how many NBA championships, and all that kind of stuff. We want to be remembered for how good a deer hunter we was, or how good a golfer we was, or how good of this, or how good of that. I'd rather be remembered for how good a Christian I was. I'd rather be remembered. I think if anybody could walk with me down to Melrose Cemetery and walk to the tombstone of Brother Jay Bice, I think anybody who saw that, Brother Jay had a past. He used to tell me stories. You would not believe what a rascal he was. But nobody thinks about that. When Jay Bice is remembered, they think about the buses rolling up and down the road. Matter of fact, I'll just go ahead and tell you, he is the reason there is bus ministries all over this part of the country right here. What I'm saying is what he did good overshadows anything he ever did that was not good. And you and I, as we're still breathing, we have that opportunity this morning to be remembered that we touched and affected somebody else's life. Amen? What kind of memorial are you building? You see, they built these memorials before they died. Let me say it again. They built these memorials before they died. The memorials, the stones were set up while they were still living. In other words, after you're gone, it's too late. Joshua said, go get you 12 stones, take a man of every tribe, get you a stone, put that thing on your shoulder, and pile it up right here where we're going to camp out tonight. Pile these stones up right here. Why, Joshua, are we piling up these stones? Because one of these days when you're dead and gone, your children's children are going to come and say to their fathers, what mean ye these stones? Amen. He said, and these stones are for memorial. And your fathers, your children's children, your great-grandson will tell his children, these stones are a memorial that one day God cut the water off. Yeah. And the children of Israel walked across on dry ground. I wonder, in years gone by, as if the Lord tarries and you and I lead this walk of life, and those little children back there in the children's church this morning, when they're asked about this place, what was this place all about? And they'll say, I'll tell you what this place was all about. This place was all about a God who loves sinners, and Jesus went to Calvary and shed his blood for us. And there was a man of God, and there was people of God who cared enough for our soul to get the gospel into our heart that we might stand here today and tell you what it's all about. It's the kind of memorial we want to leave behind. I'll be remembered as several things. I pray a good husband. You can say amen right there. I pray a good husband. I pray a good daddy. I pray I'll be remembered as a good preacher. But most of all, I'd rather be remembered as a good Christian. Amen. Somebody who didn't just play the part but really cared.
That's right.
I heard a pastor on television. Well, he calls himself a pastor. He pastors the largest church in America. You guess who it is. He was asked by Oprah Winfrey, would he marry a gay couple? Instead of giving a straight answer, he sidestepped it like he always does. Y'all don't die on me now. And his answer was, I don't do weddings. That was his answer. I don't do weddings. Well, what are you? In other words, you're the face and you're the author. But what you're saying, Jack, is you don't do people. Are y'all okay? I don't want to be remembered as I don't do weddings. I want to be remembered as one who loved people. And to love people, that means weddings. That means funerals. That means graduations. It means happy times. It means sad times. It all goes in there together. This morning, let me ask you again, what kind of memorial are you leaving for the generation behind you? I'm going to look at three thoughts this morning I hope will help us about Joshua and these memorials. Look with me at verse number 5. I want you to see his dedication and his work. His dedication and his work. You will be remembered for your work. You'll be remembered for what you do. It doesn't matter what it is, whether you're a preacher, whether you're a Sunday school teacher, whether you're a bus worker, whether you're a plumber, whether you're an electrician, you will be remembered for your work.
Amen.
Amen. And you will be remembered for how well you did it. Amen. I had a friend of mine that I worked with years ago. He died. We were standing around the funeral home and somebody was cutting up, and they said he was just a jackleg. You know what that means? Kind of half. He wasn't all that great. You're going to be remembered for your work. Amen? And verse number 5, look at it right quickly. We'll try to hurry through this. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan and take you up, every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. Listen, Joshua is remembered for his work. Moses is remembered for almost getting there. Y'all all right? Moses is remembered for almost. He's the one who almost got us where we need to be. We got to go over and peek at it, a few of us, but we didn't actually get to go over there and live. We remember Moses, and I'm not downplaying Moses. What a tremendous prophet and a tremendous man of God who led the children of Israel out of bondage. But he didn't quite get the job done. They got right up next to it, but that's as far as they went. Joshua is remembered. He's one of my favorite Old Testament people. I can't wait to get to heaven and meet Joshua. We only know of one black mark on his life, and that was the city of Ai. When they turned tail and run. They didn't inquire of God. They didn't send enough soldiers. If you know the book, you know the story. The only thing, bad thing he ever done, I believe the greatest general who ever lived, and he's remembered for the fact that he went all the way. He didn't just go to the edge of Jordan. He went all the way. Hey, let me encourage some of you, go all the way this morning. I'm talking about jump on in the deep end. Come on in. The water's fine. Why don't you just make up your mind? I'm going all the way with God. He's remembered for his work. Now listen, they didn't get little pebbles. He said, get every man a stone upon his shoulder. In other words, we don't want to leave something somebody could walk by and not notice. We want to leave something big enough that people will go, what is that? What happened here? What is this in memorial of? Used to my wife, she's not as bad about it anymore, but as we'd drive down the road when we were traveling, going somewhere, those bronze signs, you know what I'm talking about, them historical markers, we'd have to stop and let her read every one of them, see what it was. We'd pass that sign, she went, oh, something good happened here, pull over. We'll see what good happened here. In other words, they chose big stones. In other words, big stones takes big work. Big stones takes big effort. Big stones, big memorials don't happen by accident. Somebody has a mind to work. Somebody has a purpose in their heart. Somebody has, hey, we ought to care enough. We ought to care enough for the next generation coming behind us. I'm 47 years old. I'll turn 48 this year. I don't know how many more years I've got, but when we go off this scene, I want to leave them little babies back yonder. I want to leave them something real. I want to leave them something lasting. I don't want to go off the scene and this thing becomes some kind of contemporary mess. I want them kids to have a Bible believing, Bible preaching. I'm talking about King James, Bible told. Hell, fire, hot, heaven, high. I want it to be right when we hand it to them. Amen. That doesn't happen by accident. You know what it takes? It takes work. It takes dedication. It takes dedication. Are you dedicated to this thing? Are you dedicated to the cause of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why do people quit? They're not dedicated. They give many excuses. Their feelings were hurt. No dedication. There's your answer. No dedication. When you're dedicated, feelings don't matter. I've been here 19 years. Reckon my feelings ever been hurt? Hey, I'm human too. I know I look like Superman, but I have feelings, I promise you. Amen. You know what it is? I am affected by what people say. I am affected by what people do. Matter of fact, I'm more affected by what you do to each other than I am what you do to me. We okay? But I'm dedicated to this thing. 19 years ago, on April 25th, the day I was ordained, and Brother Charles and 40-something other men of God laid hands on me and prayed a prayer of dedication, I made up my mind right then, I'm staying with this thing till the end. I don't know how far it'll go, but I'm in it for the long haul. I'm not here to start, I'm here to finish. Hey, I've made up my mind, I am dedicated to this. And I'm dedicated to you. So when trouble comes, and when trial comes, it's the dedication that causes us to stick to it. Amen. Amen. I've watched people absolutely get completely out of church because of something somebody else said to one of your kids. Kids are mean. Get that through your head, especially girls. Girls are evil. 13-year-old girls are the most evil. Somebody help me right there. Hey, if you've raised one, you know what I'm talking about. They're mean. Don't give up on God because your brat did something. I'm saying, let me get my Joel for you. Don't give up on God because kids did something stupid. Take it as part of life, grin and bear it, and dedicate yourself to this thing. Amen. I know people this morning who are saved and on their way to heaven, but their children are lost and on their way to hell because mom and daddy got sideways with God, got sideways with the church, and quit on God when the kids were little, and they never heard the gospel. What is it? No dedication. No will to work. No will to work. How many of you just love your job? Just a few. Thank God we've got some people who appreciate they have a job. I mean, you just cannot wait to get up. You're sad tomorrow's a holiday. I mean, you're just in mourning. Oh, man, I can't believe it. Have you called your boss and say, can I just come in anyway? Well, how come you don't quit that? You'll be there Tuesday like a clock a ticking. What's your excuse? Well, I've got to have a job. And you ain't got to have God? Just common sense. I'm just giving it to you from my perspective. Yeah, you got to have a job. You got to pay your light bill. You got to put groceries on the table. You got to put gas in your car. You got to do all that stuff. You got to keep your satellite on. God forbid you lose that. We okay? You got to have all those necessities, and that job is necessary for you to have those things, so you're willing to put up with your boss who is a horse's backside. You're willing to put up with coworkers you literally cannot stand. Why? Because of what you get on Friday. Now listen to me. From everything I've heard and everything I've been taught and everything I've read in this book, heaven's waiting at the end of the road for us. There's going to be a payday someday. And what your boss gives you on Friday ain't no comparison to what Jesus is going to give you in eternity. I'm saying this thing is worth dedicating our lives to. This thing is worth ignoring the little things that nag us and irritate us. Overlook that stuff. Get our eyeballs full of Jesus Christ and say, by the grace of God, we're going on. Dedication. If you're going to be remembered as a man or a woman of God, it's going to take dedication. It's going to take dedication. Will they be able to walk past your casket and look at your cold face and say, I tell you one thing, he was real. She was real. Y'all all right? Going to take dedication. Going to take dedication. I've heard people stand up all my life in church and testify about what they used to do. I've heard it thousands and thousands of times. Well, we used to. What are you doing now? I ain't seen no place to quit. Somebody said, Brother Eddie, when you thinking about retiring? Well, I ain't. I'm gonna stay at the helm of this thing till I've got mind enough to do it. When I see my mind start slipping, I'm beginning to wonder. But when I see my mind start slipping and I don't have the ability anymore, we'll hand the baton off to somebody else. Y'all okay? Amen. I'm not in this thing looking for the end. I'm just in this thing. Whenever the end comes, it comes. Amen? Amen. But you know what it's took? Somebody said, have you made it 19 years? Dedication. Dedication. I could have left, went somewhere else. Could have. I had several offers. Brother Eddie, were you tempted? Not one bit. Why? Because I'm dedicated to this. Amen. Lord tarries, come December the 10th, we'll celebrate our 29th year. Is that right? 29 years. What's it took? Dedication. Why come I ain't never left my wife? How come she ain't never left me? Dedication. Have I got faults? Don't even go there. Has she? Very few, but she has them. But you know what? I'm dedicated to her. Good, bad, better, worse, rich, poor, sickness, health, I'm dedicated to her. Amen. And I believe she's dedicated to me. That's what it takes. And it doesn't happen by accident. I want someday for my children, now y'all get this, y'all listening? I want someday for my children to throw a 50th wedding anniversary party like this world's never seen. You write that down. I mean, I want lots of money spent on her. Amen. That's the golden, right? Isn't that gold? Golden? Yeah. Golden. Remember that word, gold. Gold. Remember. But to do that, it's going to take dedication. We have men in this, men and women in our church that's been married that long. Brother Rainey, how long did y'all just celebrate? 50 years. Look at her. They made it. They made it. Honey, if Rainey Turner can do it, we and you can do it. It's took dedication. Has it all been a bed of roses? No. They raised Richard. Amen. No, it's not all been a bed of roses. But they were dedicated to one another. I want you to notice his dedication and his work. Listen, this has been, 4,000 years ago? Somewhere in that neighborhood? And I'm standing here on May the 27th, 2012, some 4,000 years later, still preaching about those stones? He said it'd be a memorial for what? Ever. Forever. Now look with me at verse number 6. He said that this may be a sign among you that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. We saw his dedication and his work. I want you to see his desire and his will. His desire and his will. Most things we do are for self-gratification. Would you agree with that? Most things we do, you eat because you're hungry. Amen. Most things we do to please ourselves. That's our nature, and that's normal. But Joshua wasn't doing this for Joshua. Those 12 men that put a stone on their shoulder, they weren't doing it for themselves. They were doing it for somebody who's not even born yet. I used to be able to quote a poem, and I can't now, but I'll give you the gist of it. The poem talked about an old man who was traveling at the closing of day. And he came to a chasm vast and deep and wide. And as the old man crawled across and reached the other side, he started building a bridge. And a guy standing by said, Mister, why are you building this bridge? You don't have to pass this way anymore. He said, there's one coming after me. There's one coming after me who's not as skilled, who's not as able, who's not as strong. He said, I'm building this bridge for him. I'm building this bridge for him. There's one coming. Hey, there's a group coming behind us that are younger. There's a group coming behind us that are not as wise as some of us older folks. There's a group coming behind us. Hey, we got to build a bridge for them. By the way, Jesus built one for you, didn't he? And it spanned the gulf that you and I might enter into heaven. Hey, I'm saying our will and our desire shouldn't always be for self. It ought to be for those who are coming behind us. Brother Earl, my pastor, tells a story about how he came in from preaching one night and took his shoes off and set them in his closet. He got ready to go preach a revival the next night, and he went to put on his shoes. And he said, Carl, most of y'all know Carl Partain. He's grown and married and got a busload of kids now, but he said he went to put on his shoes, and he said inside his shoes were Carl's shoes. Carl had taken his little shoes and put them inside his daddy's shoes. Brother Earl said he sat down on his bed and began to weep. And he said, oh my God, he wants to walk in my shoes. And I thought, Brother Earl, That's a good thing. Would it be a good thing if our children wanted to be just like us? Our desire ought to be them. That's what helps me when feelings get hurt. People do you wrong. It's going to happen. Well, we'll find another church. It'll happen there too. Well, you don't know that. Yes, I do, that there's people in it. Y'all all right? My little granddaughter said her first word yesterday. Her very first word. She looked me dead in the eye and said, "Papa." That ought to be enough to make me want to do right. I want to leave something behind for her. His will and His desire that what God did would never be forgotten. Amen. Our will and our desire ought to be that what God has done in our hearts and our lives never be forgotten. I'm thinking about Rusty and Stacy, Jeremy and Michelle, come here on the verge of divorce. And they've told it themselves. I know they don't mind me telling it. Man, don't let the future forget what God did in your home. Amen. Went from a family who knew not God to one whose six-year-old, how old is Morgan? Seven-year-old daughter's leading neighbors to the Lord. Amen. I'm telling you, that's God, friend. That's God. Hey, don't let the little things the devil throws your way to overshadow the great things that God has done. Hey, look at them babies every day and say, "Mama and Daddy's here," and you have Mama and Daddy both at home, sleeping in the same room and loving each other because of what Jesus did in our heart. Amen. Amen. Brother, that takes dedication. It takes desire, and it takes will. You know what will is? Do you know what, when we talk about the will of God or your will or my will, you know what your will is? It's just what you want. It's just what you want. In other words, Flip Wilson said, "What you see is what you get." I'm telling my age there, some of y'all are grinning because you remember Flip Wilson. And Geraldine, "What you see is what you get." You remember the little nursery rhyme? Kitty cat, where have you been?" She said, "I've been to London to see the Queen." Kitty cat, what did you see there?" She said, "I spied a mouse run under her chair." That's like Baptist, isn't it? That's like Baptist. There she is in Buckingham Palace. There she is before the crown jewels and the Queen of England. What does she see? A rat. That's like most Christians I know. People being saved left and right. God moving and doing great and mighty things. Well, what happened at church day? Did you see so and so? What you see is what you get, friend. Amen. His desire and His will was that others would remember what God did after they were gone. Listen, they were building a memorial of stone. But we're building one of flesh and bone. Amen? Amen. Let me close and I'm done. Verse number 20. The Bible said, "In those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal." We saw his dedication and his work. We saw his desire and his will. And I'll close with this. We see his dependability and his way. His dependability and his way. I'm going to stop right here, but I could carry you to the end of Joshua's life. The end, we're seeing the beginning of Joshua's career as a leader in the nation of Israel. But at the end of his life, you know what he does? He calls all these people that crossed over Jordan with him. He calls all these families. Evidently now, those 12 men that carried those 12 stones, likely they ain't still alive. They probably already dead, but he's got their grandchildren in front of him. Joshua's on his deathbed and he's dying. And you know what Joshua said? "Choose you this day who you will serve." He said, "But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." In other words, he ended like he started. Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. In other words, he's saying, Paul said, I didn't just start, I ended. I'm the same now as I die as I was when I was living.
Yeah, that's good.
You know what I love? I love old Christians. Old Christians. I love old preachers. Brother Atkins, you guys are my hero. Brother Charles, you guys are my heroes. I love to be around old preachers. I had the privilege, some of y'all don't even know him, but many of you do, Brother Earl Hughes. I had the privilege to preach around the country a little bit with Brother Earl. And one place we was at in Arkansas, they always put me and Brother Earl in the same house. They gave us the upstairs, and he stayed on one side of the bathroom, and I stayed on the other. I loved hanging out with him. I loved hanging out with him. You know why? He's what I want to be. He's my goal. He's my destination to be an old preacher.
Amen.
You know what that's going to take? It's going to take desire. It's going to take dependability. And it's going to take dedication. Amen. Joshua ended like he started. Some of us, we're at that mark, what they call over the hill. I ain't felt like I started going down yet. I don't know about y'all. But they say we're over the hill. In other words, most of our life is behind us. We've already lived the larger part of our life. And you can't help, and young people don't understand this. I know you don't, because I didn't. Because you don't think in that way. You're thinking about getting started. Now some of us are thinking about finishing. How we do it. How are we doing? Are we going to finish well? Is what we're leaving behind, is that really what we would really like to be remembered for?
Amen.
Tomorrow we'll remember those fallen soldiers.
Amen.
Regardless of what wrong any of them may have done, we won't remember that. As we drive up the 4-lane tomorrow, all the way from, guess, Rock Mart to Hiram, they'll have American flags just every few feet. And every one of those flags represent a person.
Amen.
And when we see those flags, all we'll remember, whoever that flag represents gave their life for me.
Amen.
Let the good overshadow the bad. Let what you've done for God be greater than what you did for the devil.
Amen.
Amen. I don't want Jason Crow to be remembered as a crackhead. I want him to be remembered as a man who helped many out of the gully, out of the ditches of life. Amen. And if he'll stay the course, that's what he'll be remembered for. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Let me encourage you this morning as they come with a song. Find you a rock. Find you a rock. What do you mean, preacher? Something you'll be remembered by. Whether it's a Sunday school class, whether it's a bus route, whether it's just a faithful witness or a prayer warrior, find something worth being remembered for. Amen. Let's bow our heads all over the house this morning. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I wonder if there's somebody here today. Ashley, why don't you and Elizabeth come? I wonder if there's somebody here today. Say, preacher, I'm not sure. If I died right now, heaven would be my home. I need to know in my heart, more than anything else, that if something happened to me, I could tell my family I'm in heaven. Please pray for me. I'm not sure. Just slip up your hand. I won't come to you and embarrass you for nothing. How about this? Brother Eddie, I know I'm saved. There's no doubt in my mind. But pray for me that I'd leave the right kind of memorial for my children and their children. How about that? Hands all over this building. Thank you so much. Let's pray together. Fathers, we come before you this morning. Lord, we ask you again in Jesus' name, Lord, to have your way in this part of the service. Lord, I tried to be obedient and do what I thought you'd have me do this morning. God, I pray you use it in some way. to touch a heart, to change a life. Lord, you saw every hand, you know every heart. Father, deal with us accordingly. We'll thank you. And God, will give you glory for what you do. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.